Hi, my name is Angela Harrelson. I am George Floyd's auntie in Minneapolis. I'm here to George Floyd Square. George Floyd's mother is my sister, and she's one of the one of my 9 sisters.
So where were you when you heard or saw the last moments of George's
life? Oh my goodness. I didn't find out he was killed till a day later.
Okay.
And when I did find out, it was through a news article. Not news article, news report.
Okay.
And they had, and I didn't believe it. So actually, I honestly thought they had the wrong family. I knew it was a prank call or a scam because the reporter was so serious, the tone in his voice. And I'm saying, I remember saying, oh, that he, it must be the wrong family. So, but I had a restless spirit. And something kept bothering about that tone in their voice. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
And so I remember checking my voice messages and checking my text messages. And then I said, why am I getting all these strange text messages and voice messages? And then when I called my brother and my sister, Angela, you need to call the police. The police killed Perry. Because you guys know him as George Floyd, but we know him as Perry.
We call him Perry, okay.
We call him Perry.
Okay.
And so I was just speechless. I just remember just, my mind went back to that phone call. And I'm like, that was my family that she was, that he was talking about. Once it just hit me a little, my husband came out of nowhere. I think he just got home, said, Angela, turn the TV on. It's Perry. And so I went to the dining room, the living room, I'm sorry, and that's where I saw the video, because he had turned the TV on, and then when I saw the TV, that's where I saw him saying, Mama. And so, you know, he said, Mama, and then he was gone. So I saw that towards the end. It wasn't until I had to go back to see the beginning, because I just broke. I'm like, what happened? And then I saw the ambulance carrying him away, and I'm just in of it. But the family that I talked to, they had seen the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I remember I was crying. I started calling my sisters back. I was calling. We were doing 2-way calls. We were doing 3-way calls. We were doing conference calls. Everybody was just calling around trying to find the right answer that they wanted to hear. But there was no right answer. I think we was calling that way because we was trying to find the answer that we didn't want to hear.
Yeah,
when I look back on it,
you wanted to find we like, were, this is not real.
I mean, no, I'm like, Harry's just here. You know what I'm saying? And so, it was like very traumatizing. And I was lost, you know, because, you know, my sister, you know, knew he was here. And, you know, even though she was passed away, I told her I would keep an eye out on her. And, you know, and just, you know, and I went through a little guilt, you know, a little bit, because why couldn't I have been there? You know, I questioned myself, you know, and it's a process, you know. I don't know if I was really allowed to grieve in the beginning, because I was just on the move, you know, constantly on the go. The fight for the movement, the justice, and the community, you're on the go, you know, you're going. But it built me stronger, though. But I got stronger because of the love and the support that people showed me.
Wow, that's a lot. When did your sister pass away?
Let's see. 2 years before he was killed. He was killed in 2017.
I guess now we're like 900 days in, right? Or more than that. And it's cold, very cold here. And people are still out every day.
Yeah, they do.
And
they come
what does that mean to you?
It means that he's being remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a reminder that we've got to do better. And to see the people come from all over the world, it's just like, wow, they're not going to forget. Because if we remember and it reminds us, it lets us know we can take a moment of pause.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? What can I do? You know, what can we do? You know, how can we be a part of this change? Because people say, well, the change is here. You know, change is here. But what do you want to be a part of this change?
And you're talking about traumatic, heavy stuff, and you're still smiling. You look beautiful. You're glowing.
It's a process.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
what keeps you going? What gives you all this hope?
You know, it's because for the first time in my lifetime that I got a chance to see. The first time in my lifetime, and I'm 60.
You look great for 60.
I got a chance to see the outpour of love that overshadowed hate. There were like thousands of people that came up from my family of all different languages. I couldn't speak half the language they were, you know, but one thing, no matter what language they spoke or what culture they came from, is that they wanted to show how much they care and they wanted to fight. And when I look back on that, all that love became my nutrition to feed my strength. And that's what makes me smile.
And that's what keeps you going.
And that's what keeps me going.
And the most important lesson you've learned from this incredible life journey you've had so far?
The most important thing that I've learned is that if you think you can't do anything, you can. Because we all have a certain bravery in us. And it may be buried deep, but all we have to do is tap into it. And we will see how much courage we really have. And once you can tap into that courage, because you can do it. And you see how brave you are. And through that, you can learn to lift your voice.
And I know there's other people waiting for you, so I'll try to wrap it here, but the most important change or long-term change you'd like to see come as a result of all of this?
It's that we have to continue to do police reform. It's a corrupt system that's been this way for over 400 years. And with this change that happened to my nephew, it's not something that's going to be overnight. But the change is here. We're making progress. But I don't want people to think we need to stop.
Right.
We have to keep going. So we have to keep doing improvements. Because through healing comes improvements.
Did Derek Chauvin ever apologize to the family?
No, he did not.
Would you like him to?
That's the decision he has to make.
But you're going to keep fighting regardless?
Yes.
Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, you know, I hope the best for Derek Chauvin's family. I don't hate any of those people because it's never been about hate. It's never been about anti-white. It's been about holding people like him accountable, and that one day that he'll be able to, you know, forgive himself. That's the most important thing, because I can't expect, you know, him to ask for an apology or ask anything like that until he has worked it out within himself.
And can you imagine a day where we won't be hearing about public lynchings or more black people losing their lives at the hands of police?
Yes, I can imagine it. You know, that's what I look forward to, because when we can get to the point where we can say, when we don't have to say Black Lives Matter, that's
because
when
we just know it, right?
Right. Well, that's when we know we have arrived.
Got it. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you.